Blog Talk Radio.
Hello?
All right, folks, this is Rebel Rouser, Rich Bergeron.
Yo, it's the tornado, Tony Pentagon.
And I'm sure our resident psychic will be tapping in any time instead of tapping out. No guest again this week, so sorry. All right, we're back. There's no guest. Can you hear me, Tony?
I can hear you.
All right. We got disconnected right away that time. That's not a good time for us. All right. Well, Mike Tyson's back in the news. That's a big story this week. I don't know if you heard this, Tony, but he's in trouble with Amazon now. Did you hear this whole story?
I didn't hear anything.
USA Boxing President Dr. Charles Butler sent an open letter to former undisputed heavyweight world champion and current pro promoter Mike Tyson. And basically, the guy wanted him not to sign a top amateur, 18-year-old kid. He was an Olympic hopeful. USA Boxing says, don't sign him. What does he do? He signs him. So, actually, he's 17. And he was 17, turned 18 here. And so now Mike Tyson picked him up. This guy's name is Erickson Lubin of Kissimmee, Florida, who was named Outstanding Boxer at the National PAL last year. In National Junior Olympics twice. And he's been at junior welterweight, mainly under the tutelage of Jason Galarza in the Orlando area. He's turning 18 years old this week and is in negotiations with IMI Productions. And I think they've since signed him. But I guess...
But now, here's my question. Why does this... person, not what Mike Tyson signed this kid, because he's a little, so hopefully, years now.
Basically. But they say losing Lubin, the boxer in question here, would definitely hamper USA Boxing's chances of making the podium in Rio de Janeiro 2016. And the American men came home from London last summer without a medal of any kind for the first time in history and have not...
I appreciate the fact that, you know, you want to, you know, put the best team out there in the Olympics and everything. There are a lot of fine young amateur fighters out there. Now, the revamping the Olympic scoring back to the way it should be, the paper and pencil method. Obviously, you got to make sure what happened in Korea 20-some years ago doesn't happen again. But here's the fact of the matter is, you get a kid here, you know, he's 18 years old, and, you know, it's a chance for, you know, do you make the kid wait 3 years until, you know, he's 21 years old? I mean, boxing burnout can happen. I mean, you get some kids that have been doing it for so long, and you don't want to do it anymore. A lot of times, he's more tired, you know. So I don't think it's worth it. Coming up next year, it was like the Winter Olympics in 2014. Oh, by all means, don't sign now. football for 6-7 more months, you know, fight representing the country. But you're asking a kid to wait 3 years. And I mean, obviously, I don't know much about this kid. I'm sure a lot more about him. But, you know, you don't know what the kid's up for. You don't know about, you know, the kid's, you know, family. I mean, is the family struggling? Are they above the poverty level?
Prudently.
You don't know about a house or who knows?
Yeah, we have Psychic Tom here now.
Good evening, gentlemen.
So he can work on Mike Tyson is being accused of amateurs from USA Boxing because he just signed an 18-year-old kid. So what do you think? Is Mike Tyson rock the amateurs?
Okay, he is being accused of what now?
Poaching from USA Boxing for Iron Mike Promotions.
Oh, I see. So in other words, the whole idea is these kids are supposed to make no money and wait on the Olympics before they turn pro, so we can bring home gold medals instead of turning pro and making money now.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So and so in other words, he's accused of being an undue influence on these young impressionable kids who don't know what they're doing. And if Mike Tyson weren't in the equation, they would stay amateur. Oh, wow, that's interesting. My gut feeling on that is if they're 18 and if the price is right, I believe I caught the tail end there where Tony was saying that, you know, you do have a finite lifespan in boxing. And, you know, sometimes the rule is you go for what you can get, is my gut reaction on it. Is this the Olympic Committee that's upset with them, or who's upset?
That's some clown.
USA Boxing, basically. Somebody from USA Boxing. Wrote an open a robber. A free.
Well, here's what I would say to anyone young, though, that if you have this chance, I mean, Mike Tyson, love him or hate him, he's still important in the boxing world. I mean, he's exciting. I mean, if you want to... You want to make a name for yourself. He's, you know, you don't know where he's going to be in a couple of years. I mean, so supposedly all these kids stay amateur. Well, will this opportunity still be there a few years down the road? That's the question.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just my gut feeling. Just off the top of my head.
I mean, you don't know if the kid's family's struggling. You don't know if, you know, they're having trouble putting.
Right.
I remember when they were doing the Olympic trials back in getting ready for the 2000 Danny Go in the amateurs, and he was a highly touted prospect, a potential favorite to make that. Decision.
Well, speaking of poor decisions, I heard the Brian Vera, Julio Cesar.
Yeah.
I watched the other fight, which was not very entertaining or controversial. Fight with All right, we are back. Sorry about that. Once again, technical difficulties. What is new? We'll get Tom back on any minute here, but I guess we were on the track of boxing. Talking about this bad decision between Chavez there and... About your all right, next, still through this bummer, before we get dropped. We are connected now. So, okay. Hopefully, for the duration, I reset my computer so. Should be a nice strong connection now. Anyway, we've been trying to discuss your article, Tony.
You got it.
I think we are live now, yes.
So, I went in a little different direction with this one. I did a what if a thing that is rumored happens. That being between Bernard Hopkins and Floyd Mayweather after Hopkins called him out. And he's trying to see what everybody thinks.
Well, I don't know. I'm thinking about it. But at the same time, it doesn't really make much sense that Amir Khan is the front runner to fight Floyd in the first place. It just doesn't make sense to me as if even doesn't even seem like Amir Khan's earned that fight.
Yes, like, that's old colleague of mine. I said that'll be the easiest preview I've ever had to write. I just copy everything I copy out of Floyd, you know, his strengths, his weaknesses, and all that. And then for Khan, it's where his weaknesses being his chin. And it's a 3-round protection. The fight will get no longer than that.
All right. Well, we got Tom back.
Yeah, one of these days we'll be telling our grandkids about all these problems of the early days of Skype. Well, hopefully we're up and running now. No more problems.
Yeah.
So, Tony, great articles. So I assume we're going to be talking about it.
Yeah.
I just wanted to go in a little bit of a direction. I wanted to know why it would happen, why it wouldn't happen, and what would happen if it did.
Floyd would be in trouble.
Trying to see what you think, Tom.
Well, I loved your analysis of it, and I think it can be hyped. The biggest obstacle would be two things, as you mentioned. First off, what weight are we going to go to? Because if Bernard has to get down to 160, that's not going to be easy. I mean, it's doable, but and then second, the ego problems. But I think as far as the hype for the fight, it's not just people like us, boxing purists, that would appreciate it. Because you look at what Mayweather can draw, you know, when he puts on these clinics anyways. So I think it could draw pretty good. But I do like your analysis of it.
I see the problem with it being the draw, because I see the problem with actually being the execution of the fight, for lack of a better term. Just because a couple of years ago, you know, I had the Hopkins Roy Jones fight over my house. And a couple of my friends that came over, a couple of them were big MMA fans, and it wasn't a good fight to try to push boxing on as a superior product, because the fight, honestly, was a lot of clinching, a lot of grabbing, you know, some dirty fighting, but it wasn't an action-packed fight. Now, Mayweather, the last few years,
All right, so Tony, you were saying,
Hopkins was an exciting fight. Hopkins is best, but he's the guy that is coming straight towards him, a slow or plodding type of fighter. Your guys like your Jake Trinidad, your Steve Atlas, your Jean Pascal, your Tavoris Files, those are guys that he keeps alive. He neutralizes them, and then he eats them alive. Mayweather, on the same hand, he is best against the guys that are, you know, either intimidated by him or guys that come right in, and that he uses that as a chance to neutralize them. You know, he does great against the Canelo Alvarez's, your Miguel Cotto's, and those fighters. The guys that he was closest with were a little bit, you had your De La Hoya, who was a taller, bigger guy with a good jab. So it's conceivable Hopkins can use that jab, use that blueprint, because with Mayweather, it's a lot of guys coming over with a plan A and maybe a half-ass plan B, thinking, okay, well, plan A is going to be it. And then Mayweather adjusts. To beat Mayweather, you need plan C, D, E, and F. And Hopkins is a guy that can do that. But here's the problem. He can formulate the game plan, but how much can he still execute those game plans? If you go back even 8, 9 years ago and fought Jermaine Taylor, he looked slower. He was fighting a guy that was more of a boxer and wanted to stay on the outside. And it was a very slow-paced, very boring fight. He gave rounds away. Same thing even when he fought Chad Dawson just about a year or so ago. Didn't look good. He just was outworked in there and outmaneuvered by a younger guy with fresher legs. Now, you're in a situation where Mayweather at 37 is going to be the young guy by 12 years. Now, can Hopkins get him on the inside and physically rough him up? Remember, as a professional, Hopkins weighs more at his lightest than Mayweather ever did at his heaviest. Mayweather's heaviest, I think, was 151. I think Hopkins' lightest may have been 155, 156. You have to take that into consideration, and you figure that was so many years ago. So Hopkins can make the weight, and he's going to have to take off a lot of muscle, because Mackie Schitzel built him up. He's a physical specimen. Not out of an ounce, but about 174 pounds. He's got at least 14 pounds there. That's big. And how will that compromise his strength, his physicality, his conditioning, his endurance? Mayweather, at the same time, if Hopkins is able to get in there, is able to corner him, and he's able to get him in some of them clinches and use his head and rough him up, could Mayweather physically stand up to that? It's a master chess player versus a master chess player. Now, another problem is, when you get your two master chess players like that, they are more focused on letting the other opponent make the mistake. You make that first mistake, and it's check. Another mistake or two, it becomes checkmate. So now, it's which guy is going to be willing to move that king first? Which guy is going to be willing to be the aggressor there? That's the question. And make the other guy, adapt to that aggressiveness. Do that. I could see the first few rounds, a lot of posing, a lot of feint, a lot of making faces at each other, trying to draw the other guy in. It's almost going to be like a game of chicken on who goes first. And so those rounds are really hard to score, really hard to score. And I do see, imagine Mayweather, most of those rounds against Canelo looked completely dominant, and he still won't. With the draw. Because one of my favorites against Mayweather. And Hopkins being a guy at 49 years old or 50 years old, whenever this happened, would be a huge sentimental favorite. All the guys that hated him for so many years are now following the old guy and are rooting for the old guy just because he is the old guy. And he shouldn't be doing things that he's doing. So just by being in there and doing minimal things, he can steal a lot of rounds. Now, will he get frustrated in there trying to draw Mayweather in when he finally gets in close?
Tom, you with?
I'm here.
All right. Hello.
I'm here.
Tom, you can hear me? Tony can't.
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
All right.
Tony back. Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me now?
Okay.
All right. Everybody's on board once again. All right. From boxing, let's move on. There's a little bit of a UFC story here I wanted to mention. The lawsuit against New York State's ban on mixed martial arts is going to be able to move forward, according to a U.S. District Court ruling, just released on Tuesday. They're saying that part of the lawsuit deals with First Amendment issues is going to be able to move forward. The plaintiffs have, quote, adequately alleged that the statute is unconstitutionally vague with respect to professional MMA sanctioned by exempt organizations, unquote, there. So, six other claims were dismissed by the court in Manhattan, including a First Amendment claim that a live MMA fight was, quote, expressive conduct, unquote, and thus protected by free speech. The case is going to move on. It's filed in November of 2001. I want to say that doesn't sound right. It's probably 2010. So article says 2001. I doubt that. The UFC win its case, that would essentially strike down the law on the books and make professional MMA legal, and it would avoid having to go the legislative route once again. The bill to legalize MMA in New York State Senate last our fourth second year, but stalled in the air, never reached the reach. At the fates of Mr. only one profession about amateur amateurs, whether they're by a regulatory body or not, are at least a handful of pandemic events in that. Over the past century, I guess. But news I wanted to mention, Edwin Rodriguez got the fight that he wanted. He's going to be fighting Andre Ward. No surprise there, I guess, but it's been made official since we last discussed it.
That'll be a good fight. You know, Edwin's taking a big step up in class, but I like the kid and taking the biggest chance out there.
He wants it. And he helped introduce Iceman John Skeleton. Apparently. I don't know if you guys saw.
That's what makes you World Series, but taking the biggest challenge out there.
I like his chances. I think that Andre Ward is definitely due for a tough fight, and he's been off just long enough to have a little bit of a rust issue. So who knows? Anything can happen, I guess, there. I'll be rooting for our boy from Worcester. Anyway, Juan Manuel Marquez announced recently that he will consider retirement if he loses his upcoming showdown with Timothy Bradley on October 12th at the Thomas & Mack Center in Las Vegas. He recently turned old. Boxing age is probably more like 60, right? Right.
I'll see if I can get an article preview on this one. I've been kind of teetering on it, and then I thought it was this week. I was like, oh, shit, I have a lot of time. I've been really busy. So I'll see if I can get something to dinner next week. See what the tornado thinks.
Well, Marquez, for his part, says he's going to let his fist do the talking as far as whether he retires or not. He says, Tim Bradley has the belt. I want more than ever. I also feel the fans wanted to see something new. The first two fights, Pacquiao, were very close. The third, I won easily. And the fourth, I knocked him out cold. So as far as I'm concerned, so we talked about on is Amir last fought against Julio Diaz in April 2013, but it is believed that he won't fight again this year and is intent on concentrating on the Mayweather clash, which is undoubtedly the biggest fight of his career, both in terms of the level of opposition and the paycheck.
Yeah, don't need the paycheck. People in the hospital doing some dirt work. Amir's talented. He's got good speed. But, you know, he needs you to hit again. We can't. That's just how they do the combination.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just like just a safe fight for Mayweather, I guess, just to stay in shape. And you might have another big one against somebody that has quite a bit in the year, you know, so that way he could probably pull it and only have to fight one person that might challenge him. Well, it just doesn't make sense to me. I really don't get the draw of Amir Khan either. I don't see what he brings to the table as far as fame. I don't think it's an overwhelming fan base coming over from his.
Well, he's got a great name behind him.
We'll
cheer for anything.
The reason
they're cheering.
Yeah. Well, UFC is back in the news again for cutting people. Yushin Okami got cut the other day. Big star here because he just had one defeat. The last fight was a defeat, but it came after three straight wins. So it just doesn't make sense here. But they threw him out. He had previously scored a controversial disqualification win over Anderson Silva back before joining the UFC. All right. I was disconnected there. I think I was not talking about the UFC. Well done. Thanks. Good note. I think he's a good guy. I should test for the name. Who aren't necessarily that phenomenal in the cage. They keep him around for the name. Sorry again. I'm back. Can everybody hear me, Tom? Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
A couple more stories here and whatever else you guys want to talk about, and then we can call it a night here so we don't have to deal with these technical difficulties for another straight hour. But as we introduced last week, we're going to have a new segment here, a bad guy in combat sports called the Loser of the Week. And this guy is a loser of the week for something he did back in 19. All right, back again. Sorry. Hopefully we can get through this without another dropped call. Anyway, you guys ever heard of Exum Speight, S-P-E-I-G-H-T?
Not sounding familiar.
No. Not sounding familiar. Well, he's 50 years old now. Tell you what his most fame was. He fought Vladimir Klitschko back in 1996. He's probably his most famous opponent. Obviously, Vladimir is the current heavyweight champion of the world, but he was not back then. Anyway, Exum Speight, he is our loser because apparently he must have had a problem with his manager back in 1987. And handling Speight. Cold case detectives with the LAP screened the evidence for new leads on Bill Grant reports the use of DNA. Now, DNA evidence played a key role in. All right. I don't know if you guys heard that last part there, but Speight is going to be, or was indicted on Thursday. And no real details on how he killed him or what they discovered in the new investigation, but apparently DNA played a big role in that one. This isn't quite murder, but it is the death. We have a death in MMA once again. This is not as a result of any actual contest or combat, so to speak.
Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ.
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Got two more stories here, and we are calling it a night.
Tap it out. Tap it. Referee, stop it. Stop it.
Punishment here by this computer connection just keeps kicking me off, and I'm showing a full connection, and it's kicking me off every 5 minutes. But anyway, as I was saying, this is Deaf and MMA. It's a weight cut related deal. I guess if there's any lesson to be learned here, it's don't go into the sauna by yourself when you're cutting weight. I don't know if that was the case here, but obviously he passed out in the sauna, according to this story. And he was only trying to lose 2 pounds. So I guess, you know, be near a lot of people, make sure you have a doctor around when you're cutting weight or somebody who could resuscitate you if you pass out.
Well, for sure, he was doing it one time. I had 2 teammates lock me in the sauna.
Oh, no. Oh, that's not good. Locked in the sauna. Well,
locked in.
Now I guess we can't laugh too much about that one guy on The Ultimate Fighter who had a pound to lose and gave up in the sauna. Who actually ended up coming back to the UFC, Gabe Brudiger. And, you know, he earned his way back to the UFC after they threw him off the show for not trying to make weight. And then they threw him out again because he couldn't string together enough wins there. Anyway, last story here before we call it a night. On account of technical difficulty overload. We have, so I was talking about Andre Ward and Edwin Rodriguez is official, and tickets are on sale. It's going to be November 16th, Saturday. Rodriguez is 24-0 with 16 KOs. Ward is 26-0 with 14 KOs. And it's going to be at the Citizens Business Bank Arena. In California somewhere, Sherman Oaks, I guess. So I guess that's Ward's neck of the woods. It's going to be a hometown crowd for him. So Edwin's going to have to work really hard to get that win there. And what do we got coming up this weekend? I know there's no big UFC fight until...
Well, we got some boxing this weekend. We got Vladimir Klitschko and Alexander Povetkin over in Russia. And this is, I think, the fight where Povetkin meets reality hard. I don't think he is going to be able to stand up to Klitschko's power and physicality. So I think this will be the one where he gets beat up pretty good. And if you have a box up in front of me, I know there's another card. Let me see if I can find it before we get booted again. I know we got something on HBO with Showtime. For the Klitschko Povetkin fight in Russia in the afternoon. And then, is that it? That's only 5-star fights. Maybe what else is being on is not considered a 5-star fight. No, I know there's something else on Saturday night. We're going to show it in tandem with the Klitschko Povetkin fight. Okay. Oh, Miguel Cotto and Delvin Rodriguez down in Florida. And that's even the 4-star fight. That's why I originally didn't see it. So we got Cotto and Rodriguez. That'll be a tough scrap. Rodriguez is a tough kid. We don't know how much Cotto's got left. You know, he's coming off 2 straight losses and hasn't fought in almost a year. He's 37-4, 30 knockouts. Rodriguez 28-6, 3 draws, 16 knockouts. And let's see. I swear there's another card somewhere. Oh, let's see if my computer. I sure as hell don't see it. I think it's the Terrence Crawford fight. Terrence Crawford, lightweight, 21-0, 16 knockouts. another undefeated fighter, Andre Klimov, 16-0, 8 knockouts. A couple of lightweights here. They're fighting down in Florida on the Turbo undercard. So that shouldn't be too bad. That's, you know, a decent card. And then the replay of the Klitschko-Povetkin fight.
All right. Well, I know we haven't really been talking much about Bellator, but I have been watching every Friday. Bellator is the new Friday night fights. There's some interesting guys coming out of the mix there. I know that Joe Warren, a lot of people hadn't seen him fight before watching the Fightmaster show. And now seeing him fight, geez, he looked pretty good last Friday night. Beat a guy up pretty bad there and then put him in a rear naked choke. And Marcus Davis might have seen his last fight. He didn't look too good there against Shlomenko on that card.
Yeah, I guess the theme of Bellator lately is the Russians are coming. They've got quite a bit of talent. And, Marcus, I think the theme for that night was out with the old, in with the new, because I really... You know, I'm sentimental about the older guys, you know, the Rich Clementes and John Alicios, and they were the pioneers. But, game of youth. And I think it really was, that point was driven home, that in this case, youth prevailed over experience.
Yeah, the Russian thing is pretty interesting because, you know, just when the U.S., the United States and Russia are starting to get back to our Cold War ways with each other. You got Russians and U.S. guys trying to fight for spots in combat sports, and it's actually probably more of an MMA thing now than it is a boxing thing, because they've kind of given up on the heavyweight division, at least in boxing, with the Russians. But in MMA, it's a lot of UFC champions are from the U.S., so some of these Russians are trying to come in. Bellator has got a lot of Russian guys on their rosters, and I think it's classic Cold War stuff. They need to make the MMA version of Rocky IV now.
Well, hey, if we have to have a Cold War, that's the best way to do it. Let's do it in the ring, do it in the cage.
And I know we get a big UFC event coming up October 9th, but we'll just talk about that when we get past it. As instead of a preview, we'll do a recap at that point. I think that's about all we have. I don't really have any urgent stories jumping out here to talk about. I've pretty much finished my list here. So unless you guys have anything to add, I guess we'll sign out before we get bounced out.
TKO'd.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a rough night, you know?
Yeah. But we finished up. We got a little bit of time in there without getting thrown out. So next week, hopefully, we'll have a guest, and I will have these issues straightened out. I shut down my other computer thinking that would help, but it didn't this time. I will definitely figure this out, though, and get some kind of rig set up that's more reliable. This is getting to be aggravating. Anyway, till next week, that's all we
have.
All right,
guys.
Thanks for stopping by.
All right.
Have a good night.